Fantastic. Thank you to the band for leading us in worship this morning. Well, this morning is a special day in many ways. As Jolene mentioned, it's a special day for our fathers. So from my side, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. But something else that we have the privilege of celebrating this morning and just standing still for a few minutes is we've got a children's and a baby dedication this morning. And yes. And I would like to call up our special parents and our children for this morning. So we've got three couples that have taken the decision to dedicate their children to the Lord. That is Jock and Whitney Jacobs. If you would just join me here in front as well. And then we've got Karel Meteka, Karel and Mersha Prince. They're going to be dedicating Luan and Carly. And then Ernest and Marglin September, if you can also come up this morning. I say. Wonderlik, julle, welkom hier so vir oggend. Let me just move this out of the way so we've got a bit more space. Great stuff. I say. Marglin. Dis welkom julle. Julle is die belangrike mense vir oggend, julle en julle kinders. So van my kant af baie welkom hierso. Is baie lekker om julle hierso vir oggend saam met ons te hê. And so this morning is a special occasion in the sense that they are choosing and have chosen to take time out and before us as witnesses to make a commitment of raising their children in a godly manner. And so it's one of those special occasions where I don't want to compare it to a marriage or something like that, but it's one of those moments where we before people take responsibility for our children. We firstly thank God for our children. We acknowledge those children as gifts of God, but more importantly, we acknowledge them as gifts that need to be stewarded. I think the parents that are young, but miskien al bietjie langer besig is met kinders, you know that if you just leave children and say, carry on, do what you want, eat as many cookies as you want, watch as much TV as you want, you don't need to go to school, you can believe what you want. I think we will know that we have disaster waiting for us in a few years' time. A lot of gnashing of teeth, a lot of tears. And so the parents here that would know that once you become a parent, with it comes responsibility. Responsibility for stewarding that gift. And that's hard work. Can I just get one amen? Wow, I haven't heard such a loud amen in a long time. it's hard work. It's an investment in our children. Ons moet in ons kinders tyd spandeer en aandag gee. And I want to tell you, in many ways, it starts this morning, publicly. It's been going on privately at home. Julle is besig met die kinders daar by die huis. En ek weet julle gee julle beste. Ek wens ek kon vir julle medaljes gee vanoggend. Want om 'n ouer te wees, is nie maklik nie. En dis harde werk. En wat so spesiaal is van vanoggend ons, julle as ouers, kom hier en voor die gemeente, maak julle belofte aan God en julle maak 'n belofte aan die mense, dat julle beste gaan probeer om die kindertjies wat toevertrou is aan julle in die Here se weë op te bring. Om te bid vir hulle. Om hulle te vertel van Jesus. Om getuies te wees van wie God is in julle families. En ons as gemeente bid ook vir julle. Ons as gemeente kom staan rondom julle. We come stand around you. And we commit to supporting you in that journey because it is a journey. It's a journey this morning. And so it's a special journey. And I'm so excited for you that you are bold enough to come and take this step and to dedicate your children to the Lord. The Lord is going to bless you very richly. Amen. So all you need to do. So our four special children this morning, let's just give those names again. It's Mia Lexi, it's Luan Prince, die groot man daar, Carly Prince, and Liam September. He's 7 months old, is that right? 7, 8 months old. Oh, look. So these are the special kids that we have the privilege of dedicating to the Lord. So al wat julle vandag moet doen, julle gaan saam met my nou lees. Ons gaan net 'n paar goedjies hier so lees. En dan gaan ons bid vir julle. So this is the parents' declaration. Read after me. We as parents acknowledge and thank God for this precious gift He has entrusted to us. Before God and His people, we hereby dedicate our child to the Lord. We commit ourselves with God's help in partnership with the church to bring up our child in the love and instruction of the Lord. By word and example, we promise to teach our child the word of God, and with patience and love, we will build the character of Christ and the joy of the Lord in their lives. Amen. I think that's it. And those aren't just empty words. Die Here het gehoor wat julle saam gebid het. Ons het gehoor wat julle gebid het. We're going to pray for the kids, and I'd like to call up the elders to join me. Nou kom staan julle so 'n half maan hier so. Ons lekker om julle kan staan. Kom bietjie die kant toe. Daar's sy. Here we go. And at this stage, I'd just like to welcome the families and the family members of these families. Ek weet Karel en Mersha se ouers is hier so welkom julle. Is great om julle saam met ons te hê. If any of you would like to join us, as enige van julle is wat sal saam bid, selleiers of enigiets, julle is ook welkom om saam te kom. En dan gaan ons vir die kinders bid. Ouderlinge, ek het genoeg gepraat, laat julle bietjie praat.
Kom ons sluit ons oë. Vader, baie dankie Here vir hierdie spesiale dag en hierdie ouers se lewe. Here, ons weet dat U is in beheer van elkeen van ons lewens. En daarom bid ek Here vir groot, helpende, liefdevolle hande. Wat hierdie kinders sal vertroetel, wat hulle sal Here help in die tyd wat hulle by die ouers is. Here, ons weet nie wat die pad vorentoe is nie. Maar dankie Here dat Psalm 23 sê dat U is ons herder en niks sal ons ontbreek nie. Here, daarom bid ek vir geloof in die harte van die ouers. Here, dat wanneer die tye kom wanneer hulle moedeloos sal word, Here, dat hulle tot U sal gaan op hulle knieë en sal weet hulle hulp kom van U. Here, kinders is geskenke en geskenke word waardeer. En daarom bid ek, Here, dat elke ouer die kind sal waardeer, dat hy of sy die kind sal lei, Vader, en dat hulle, Here, altyd sal omgee en ook die kinders so sal opvoed, dat hulle 'n voorbeeld vir ander sal wees. Here, laat U liefde deurskemer in hulle lewens, en laat hulle, Here, vir die maatjies rondom hulle 'n blessing sal wees. Here, ons weet, Here, dat ons weet nie hoe lank nie, Here, maar wanneer ons by U skuil, sê die woord, Here, dat ons is tot alles in staat. Here, daarom vra ek vanmôre, wees U die skeer in die rots vir elkeen van hierdie kindertjies, sodat wanneer hulle in hulle groei, Here, ook U hulp nodig het, dat hulle weet waar hy om te skuil. Ons bid dit in Jesus naam. Amen.
Yes, Lord, thank you. What an honor it is to pray for these children and their parents, Lord. Lord, parents are an example. Whether as parents, one knows it or not, I just pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that each one of these dear parents will be a wonderful, godly example. How can we teach the children the Word of God if we are not built up in it ourselves? So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that each one of the parents here will purpose in their heart to grow spiritually in the way that you want them to grow, so that they will be the natural example for their children and will naturally mentor each one of their children in the ways of God.
Wonderful. Well, the pastor had some action here halfway through the service during the worship. My smallest one ran up to me with big eyes. Groot oë. Ek sê, "Papa, ek is so jammer. Ek het die hek oopgelos en die hond is uit." So in my family we're doing okay with discipling the kids, but we're doing terribly with the dog. So in fact we're useless with the dog. He gets a lot of love, but he hasn't had much discipleship. So he generally doesn't know his boundaries that well. So when the door or the gate is open, he heads for the reservoir because he likes water. So we know generally if he gets out, he's pretty fast and we can't keep up with him. But we generally need to drive around the reservoir and somehow we find him every time he escapes. So I just want to thank, is Moja still here? Because Moja ran like Hussein Bolt and went and rescued the dog. Shame, when I found him down there at the Traveler's Lodge, he was sweating, but he had my dog. So that's what was happening with the pastor and the assistant pastor while you were worshiping. We were chasing my dog. So normally we'd say, give that man a bells, but we'll give him something else. In keeping with the theme of children and dedicating children, I'm wanting to share a very short message this morning called Raising the Next Generation. Raising the Next Generation. So we don't have too much time, so let's jump straight into the text, into the word there. And I'm wanting to share three scriptures with you around children and specifically how parents should relate to children. So let's look at our Matthew scripture. It's Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15. It says, Then children were brought to him, that's Jesus, that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. And so we have this account kind of in the middle of Christ's ministry, and while he's teaching on a few things, in fact, he's teaching on divorce just before this, and he's teaching on the conditions of divorce. And all of a sudden, we've got this next little verse that jumps in here and says, "Then children were brought to him." And I thought about this yesterday, and I thought it probably wasn't that strange or unusual for people to be brought to Christ. I think you remember last week or the week before, I shared around the popularity of Christ, the fact that Christ became extremely famous extremely quickly. In a matter of a few months, Jesus became a national figure. Jesus, in a sense, hit the headline news on a daily basis. Another one healed, another one sees. A miracle catch in the Lake of Galilee. The things he was doing was catching the people's attention. So let's not fool ourselves around who Christ was and the fact that the word says they came from all over. The villagers went out and met with him. From Galilee, from Judea, from Samaria, from Jerusalem. It's like he was filling stadiums. And so in Matthew's account, here by chapter 19, we're quite far into the story of Jesus. And so it does not surprise me that in addition to all the crippled, all the sick, all the lame, all the demon-possessed that were brought to Jesus, probably on a daily basis, they also brought children. They also brought children. And they brought him with a specific brought the children with a specific purpose, that he may lay his hands on them. Why would the parents do that? Why would they bring the children to Jesus that he may lay his hands on them? I think by then they'd realize that when Jesus lays his hands on you, something happens. It's not like another man that's just touching you, or another lady that's extending their hands and touching. They came with an expectation, and Christ knew it. Yet Matthew's letting us into a bit of a social discomfort, a bit of a social awkwardness that we see here in Matthew's account, in the sense that the disciples, not like the disciples even said, sorry, Jesus is too busy. The disciples rebuke the people. What are you doing? Don't you know it's not time for children now? Dis nie nou kinderspeletjies nie. Jesus is besig. The man of power for the hour, he's got an agenda, he's got a program, and Jesus is booked from 8 to 5. If you want to bring children, you can come after the important day of business is done. When we're done with the important work, you can come. So you, in fact, can you please go to the back of the queue? They probably did not say anything. I'm speculating now, but the fact that they rebuked the people means that it wasn't in their eyes appropriate for little children to come to somebody who was very busy. And Jesus was busy. Jesus did have a hectic schedule. You can read the Gospels. I mean, if he wanted some alone time, he had to get up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and go to some deserted place where they would not find him. So he could just have one-on-one with God and pray to the Father. Because come sunrise, the day's business starts and they're busy. They're moving from village to village, city to city, teaching, preaching, healing, delivering. He was busy. He was very busy. He was highly in demand. Let's not mistake ourselves around that. And you could imagine that further down the line, once the disciples kind of got comfortable with we the guys that are moving with Jesus, and we are the guys that are catching everybody's attention, that after a while they would be a little bit protective of their master, protective of the one that's doing all the miracles. Maybe in their eyes, stewarding his energy, stewarding his capacity to minister. That would not be strange. We see it these days around mighty men of God. I know Angus Buck, and if you want to get to Angus, you need to get through all of his sons first. I don't know if you've noticed how Angus he moves with his family. It's not like he's got bodyguards, but you need to get through two or three sons before you get an appointment. They are aware of how much energy he has, how much time he has, what his schedule looks like, and they steward that. Rightly so. Rightly so. They're looking after him because they know his time is precious. Reinhard Bonnke, mighty man of God, who's getting old now. I heard recently he spoke at a conference in Pretoria, and he's really gone on in age, and been having some health challenges and everything. So he's not that fit, strong young German man that booms over the microphone like he used to. But apparently, when he got up at the conference, he kind of walked slowly to the podium like this, and then he announced in that heavy German accent, "I may be old, but I'm not cold." Trust him to say something like that. But behind him, there was a young, muscular man, seeing that Reinhard does not fall over. And behind the pulpit, there's a chair where the young man is sitting like this, and he's ready to catch Reinhard if he falls. Nothing wrong with that. They're stewarding the gift. While the flame is there, they're making sure it burns. And no staircase or some tripping hazard is going to cause their time to be shorter than it needs to. So yes, they take the necessary precautions. And I would imagine that Jesus' disciples are at this stage becoming slightly protective of Christ. And so what this passage in Matthew lets us into is social hierarchy in the Middle East. Social currency. And right at the bottom of the scale, clearly, are the children. And those that know a little bit about Middle Eastern culture would understand where children waar hulle plek moet vind. I think the Afrikaans culture is very similar. Many cultures are similar. 'N kind moet sy plek weet. Hy praat net if we speak to him. And Jesus surprises us here in the midst of cultural sensitivity. There's a bit of a cultural thing that's playing out here. Yes, there's a stewardship of an important man's time thing playing out here. But Jesus is also letting us into how he sees culture. And Jesus often went against culture. Surprised the people. The stuff that they thought, ooh, this is important. And if we wash our hands and if we do this and don't do this on a Sunday, and Jesus would go and do exactly that. Just to get their backs up. Jesus, in many ways, was quite countercultural. Not for the sake of being countercultural, but for the sake of exposing our hearts and our stuff that we value and social hierarchies that we build up. And he's saying, you know what, guys? I see things differently. Have you ever thought about looking at it like this? And this is one of those moments. So the disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Moenie die kinders pla nie. Moenie die kinders pla nie. Laat hulle kom. And it gets slightly awkward there and everybody's like, what's Jesus doing now? This is totally against our culture. The children must wait and know their place. And Jesus is saying, you wait, let the children come. And he's doing that to show us something very profound, very unique. And what he's trying to tell us here is that the kingdom of heaven needs to be received like these children. And that's why we have this incident in Matthew's gospel, in Mark's gospel, in Luke's gospel. We'll look at it now. He's wanting us to get something because we don't get it as parents. We don't get it as adults because we get clever. And we think we know everything. And we figured out the world. And we get this religion stuff. We get how society works. And we get how money works. And we get our little place in the pecking order. And this is how the world works. This is how life works. And Jesus said, this is not how the kingdom works. And she goes and uses the exact thing that gets the disciples irritated. He uses that to expose their hearts. Says, bring the children to me. Bring the children to me. Moenie hulle pad staan nie. Don't hinder them. And then he makes a statement. For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about stuff that's spiritual. He's talking about stuff. When we read the next scripture where he's saying, you actually can't get all that I'm about unless you adopt the attitude and the mindset of these little innocent ones that don't know social protocol and don't know when to keep quiet or don't know when to speak. That are socially of zero value. And he's making a point to say, I want to break your brains right now, but you need to become like these. If you want to get what I'm about. Let's look at Mark's gospel. I love Mark. He always brings things across a bit more strongly. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. I could think of English ways to describe it. The Afrikaans, so, hy was brisend, hy was kwaad. So the disciples get cross, Jesus gets even crosser, if there's an English word like that. More cross. Jesus is fuming. We don't see many times in the Gospels that Jesus gets fuming We know that when they made the house of prayer a den of thieves and were doing business in the house of God, Jesus puts a whip together and chases them out there. Then he was fuming. Not many occasions where Jesus gets fuming. But when they try and stop the children, Mark tells us, they got Jesus pretty upset. They got him upset. But when Jesus already was indignant, said to him, let the children come to me, do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. He's obviously wanting to teach them about the kingdom of God and for who it is and for who it's not and how to receive it. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Jesus comes preaching, starts his ministry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It's drawn near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. When I come, the kingdom of heaven comes, and this is how you must receive it. You don't receive it on your own terms. You receive it like a child. That's what's so amazing about our faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Lest anyone should boast and say, look what I have done to attain my righteousness. The picture that Jesus is trying to sketch for us is one of vulnerability. Of a youngster, of a little child, like we prayed for this morning, that does not know where the next meal is going to come from. That does not know how the school fees are going to get paid. That does not know how we're going to put petrol in the car. He just assumes there's going to be petrol in the car and tonight there's going to be a plate of food. That's what mom and dad does. They've got that sorted. It's not like they're lying awake at night worrying about these things. They just know it's going to be all right. Jesus says, that's how you receive the kingdom. You just receive it. Dad's got it covered. It's not like I need to go and, as a 3-year-old, go and work in the salt mines. And I receive the kingdom like a child receives from its parents. You just implicitly trust. You implicitly say thank you. You don't ask 100 questions and verify, is this now the right kingdom or the wrong kingdom? And I'm first going to do some research on this. No. If dad says it's like this, then dad said it's like that. When you're small, you just trust. You're vulnerable. That's the way God made it. That's the point Jesus is trying to make it. When you receive my things, receive it like that. I know you want to figure it out and I know you want to make sense of it all, but it doesn't work like that. You can go and get other faiths and other religions where you can go and do 100 list tick box and say, yes, I've done this and this, I've washed my hands and yes, I've done this and now I am holy and now I am acceptable and now I've received God. Jesus says completely the opposite. I don't want you to do any of that. I want you to come like a child and say, thank you. Thank you for the gift of the kingdom. Thank you for salvation. In fact, Paul says, anything you try and do, it's like filthy rags. It's just a bad taste in the mouth because you can't. As soon as you step into anything that you try and do to attain your salvation, you're saying that the blood of Christ was not enough. And you deny your sinfulness. Beautiful picture Jesus is trying to tell us. I want to go to our last scripture for this morning, Luke. Tells the same story. Luke just includes the infants. Now they were bringing even infants to him. Not just children, even the little babies, like we had this morning. When the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. So I've spoken a lot about children. I've spoken a lot about how Christ felt about children. I've spoken a lot about the way Christ used children to help us understand spiritual concepts and spiritual things. You can go wrestle with that text. In fact, if you don't get this, Jesus saying, you don't get me. So, kind of the severity of that last verse, you go and wrestle with that at home. But basically he's saying, it's my way. And my way is the kid way. It's the children way. It's the humble way. It's the thank you Jesus way. I receive it like a child way. Amen. Amen. I want to close off with just a few thoughts on raising the next generation, seeing that this is a children's dedication service, and there are a lot of parents sitting here. And I wasn't joking when I said it's not the easiest thing to raise kids. It's going a bit better with us. We had 3 kids in 5 years. So when the little one was born, it was just, it's like we were kind of just on the edge, and then the wheels just kind of came off. And there was just one pair of hands too little. 3 kids, 2 pairs of hands from the parents. It was like, it was a blur for about a year and a half. But they're still alive. And yeah. And it's such a joy as they're growing up just to see each one becoming their unique person. And that's what was so special for me this morning is just hearing some of those words that came through. Because those words are stuff we still pray. When it was our baby dedications 3 years ago, we wrote down those words. And it's been amazing how, I mean, just to give you an example, they prophesied over each kid, but they said Christina, when she was 6 months old, they said, Christina gaan lief wees vir boeke. In Alida Borman, who's the wife of Pastor Rick in Worcester, she said she saw this picture of Christina with just books around her like this. Go and ask my wife. I kid you not. Christina's favorite place is the bibliothek. She absolutely loves books. We can leave her alone in the bibliothek. She'll just sit there. I mean, she's tiny, but she just absolutely loves books. She'll come home in the afternoon, Papa, kan jy vir my story lees? It's the nicest thing that you can do. Last night, I'm trying to get all 3 kids through the bath and in bed. And she's so tired. She's smashed from the day. But she said, Papa, asseblief, kan jy vir my Bible lees? Ek sê, ek kom nou, ek net vir Margaret uit die bad uit kry, ek kom nou terug. 5 minutes later, I find her asleep with her head on her Bible like this. On the little story that she wanted me to read. I was just like, oh, I feel like dad of the year. But anyway, I missed that one, but I read every other night. But absolutely loves books. We didn't know. They told us she's going to be sporty. By far, out of this is prophesied over. By far, it's showing that she's got the most ball skill. They told us William and Margaret would be involved with worship, and that's before the kids were born at the baby showers. These words are not just words that people give you. If they buy the Spirit of God, I want to tell you, you need to cling onto them. You need to hold onto them because those are the arrows that you put in your quiver. And you release them over your children. And you pray into those words. That's why when it was Holy Spirit Impact Weekend, when Andre and Sonika and their team were done on the Saturday afternoon, we said, there are 3 more important people you need to pray for. I know you've prayed for the whole Shofar Franschhoek Church now. And I know you're tired now. Kom wai kinders, julle kom sit op 'n ry. And they laid hands on our children and they prayed for each one. Spot on. We take out our phones. We record those words. We go write them in those little books. We pray through those words. Those are the things that are steering the direction of these kids' lives. Important days. This was an important day this morning. Not just another baby dedication. Life-changing days. So, how do we as parents raise the next generation? Here's a couple of principles around intentional discipleship. Because we need to be intentional if you're going to disciple a child. Let me tell you, if you're not intentional, life will just happen to you. You will just get in the rhythm of your household and you will do things like you do it. And you will cope and you'll be fine. But if you don't intentionally take certain steps to build into your kids, to disciple your children, I promise you, you will just, most of the time, just be surviving the demands and schedule of your household. And doing fine, yes. Giving them love, yes. But going the extra mile, when after hard day's work, all you want to do is you just want to go and sit down and have your mealtime and speak to your wife. Now you need to go and read Bible for three kids who just are so excited about the Bible. I mean, they just, nog 'n story. You know, they just want more. And papa, vertel vir my 'n story. And papa, kan ek vir jou iets vertel? I mean, if you really, really are intentional about it, it can easily take an hour out of your evening. And I don't know if you're like me, but I'm good in the mornings. You can wake me up early. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm bright and sparky. I can change the world. But I crash about 7:30, 8 o'clock. Exactly when the kids go in bed. So sometimes I'm reading Bible stories like this, and William's like, "Hey, Papa, what lees you now?" And so for me, it really costs me. I get a second wind here at about 9 o'clock. But I mean, you can ask anybody that's involved with church activities, I'm really bad in the evenings. And so it takes a lot for me to be intentional. But I'm telling you, if you're not going to be intentional, so you oop fear, and a few years are gone and you've missed your window of opportunity to disciple your children. You actually have to get intentional. It's like, I am committing to this. And I'm not just doing it in my own heart. I'm actually going to get accountable around this. I said, this is the plan. This is the plan to disciple my children. This is the plan to raise the generation that I'm responsible for. You don't have to go and change everybody else's kids. Just disciple your own to start off with. So what are some of those keys that I want to share this with you this morning? The first one is realness. I can't think of a better word, but children, pick up. If mom and dad are different on a Sunday than they are the rest of the week, they pick up immediately. And let me tell you, this is more so, 100 times more for a pastor than for the rest of you. If I'm different on a Sunday, and Sunday I'm all holy and all smiles and rainbows and it's party time and happiness on a Sunday, but the rest of the week, you know, I'm shouting at them and kicking the dog and treating my wife badly. You think they're going to follow God? They're like, what's up with this? This is fake. I don't want this. You can't fool a kid. Maybe for the first few years. Let me tell you, once they start eating my son's age, 6, 7, 8, they see right through you. They see if you're trying to be somebody that you're not. If you're different on a Sunday, or different when the dominee of the pastor comes and visits, oh, then everything's, het gaan baie goed hier in my huis. Alles is onder beheer, pastoor. Kan julle sien, ons is lief vir mekaar hier so. The number one thing we can get right with our kids is consistency around who we are. Don't be fake. If you make a mistake, tell them, you know what? Dad's made a mistake. I do it often. Do I repent to my children? Yes, I do. Many people say, oh, nee, you can nooit vir kan sê, jy's jammer nie, because then you lose your position of authority and all of a sudden they look down on your weakness. No ways. When I make a mistake, if I say something wrong to my wife and I realize that's not the way I should have spoken, I say, weet jy wat, kinders, Papa moes nie nou so met mama gepraat het nie. Ek's jammer. Jammer Jolien, ek's jammer kinders. Dis nie 'n goeie voorbeeld nie. Consistency. Realness. It's the number one thing that you can do for your kids as an example for Christ. Number two, put a sword in their hands. I got a lot of swords at my house. You guys got swords at your house? I'm going to show you my swords this morning. They look like this. Got to show you this one. This is my favorite one. You'll see I got a lot of swords. This one, my pranky Bible storybook. You'll see it's got duct tape around the end. It's got a lot of duct tape in the middle. Because this book is 8 years old. Most of the pages are torn a little bit. A lot of them are dirty. It's really well worn. Myself and my kids, we pretty much know every story in that book. So we graduated from that little one. We bought this one. Also got a few pages missing. Because when kids work with books and they're small, pages tear. You got to be all right with that. A lot of duct tape there. Old book. Well worn. We've read through that one a couple of times, cover to cover. Then this one didn't last very long. We didn't like this one very much. But we worked through it, another sword. Then we moved onto this one. This is the one she fell asleep on last night. My eerste Bible stories. Very cute book. Still pretty new. And then we had a choice about what we're going to buy William for his birthday this year. He really wants a bike. And I really want to buy him a bike. He's also busy saving for a bike, because you all know that getting into the cycling industry these days, you pretty much need to have the money of a car. So we're saving up for quite a while. He'll have enough money by December for a really nice bike. So we had to choose. I'm either going to buy him a cheapy bike, or we're going to do the whole bike saving thing and buy a really good bike, and we'll get him something else. And so we got him this Bible, the Skattejag Bible. He loves this thing. Great Bible. Lots of little stories, lot of age-appropriate things. He reads this every night by himself these days. You can ask my kids a lot of stories out of the Bible. They know a lot of stories. We've been intentional about the Word. We've been intentional about trying to cultivate a love for the Word. And these days, he's carrying on. He does his own quiet time at night. He sits there. And my wife's so great with this. She bought him, for his birthday, she bought him the Bible and she bought him a journal. And she said, this is how we read the Bible. Because you can't just say to your kid, read the Bible. You need to teach them how to read the Bible. Why do we read the Bible? Say, we'll read a page out of the Bible. And we'll say, you journal around one thing that stood out for you. Scrape it in your book. He writes it down in his book. When I go say goodnight to him, I say to him, wat het God vir jou gesê vanavond? I want to teach your kid how to hear the Word of God. God has not spoken any more loudly than the Word. This is a good place to start. He cannot speak any more clearly or more loudly than the Word. He's made himself manifest him to us. You want your kid to hear God's voice? There's the place to start. But you got to be intentional about it. And I don't know if in 2 or 3 years' time he might say to me, I'm done with this. I'm a teenager now. Give me the tablet. Give me the iPhone. I want to read other stories. I don't know. All I know is that while he's hungry and he's like a little sponge for this, I'm feeding him. I'm building him. I'm intentional about it. Put a sword in your children's hands. Let them learn how to use and wield it from an early age. You ask my kids, wat doen jy as die duivel vir jou kom? Then they know this picture in that first Bible. There's a picture of Jesus going like this to the devil. And they say, weg met jou in Jesus' naam. Bestraf die duivel. 3 years old. They're scared. What say die Bible moet jy doen? Weg met jou in Jesus' naam. At a time we were getting, weg met jou in Jesus' naam. And the dog was getting, weg met jou in Jesus' naam. Need to teach them, okay, this is what you use that for. Let's invest, let's be intentional about our children. Communicating priority. I read this amazing story a while back about a pastor who died. And service was packed. And his daughter stands up to speak about her dad and about her father. And I suppose everybody was wondering, is she another statistic of a pastor's kid? You know, they even got a name, a PK, a pastor's kid. Because generally they don't turn out good. Julle weet mos hoe dit is. Die dominee se kinders is altyd die stoutste. Die onderwyser se kinders is die domste en die dokter se kinders is die siekste, né? Dis hoe die wêreld sê dit is, né? The pastor's kids, pastor's kid, die stoutste. Isn't that sad? Aaron's laughing at me. He's a pastor's kid. He's by a suit, Aaron. But she tells the story, and so I suppose everybody's like wondering, what is she going to say? You know how it goes wrong with pastor's kids. And she says, you know what I want to say about my dad? I always felt like the most important kid. Even though he was discipling all these children, it was a youth pastor, né? A youth pastor who's fathering a lot of other kids in a sense that also need attention. The same attention that your own biological children get. A pastor, youth pastor, was building into these children's lives. She stands up, grabs the mic and says, you know what? There was a day where he did a massive altar call in youth and the queue was long. Because they all wanted to respond and they all wanted prayer. So I went and stood at the back of the queue. And he stopped the meeting and he said, my daughter, what are you doing? You never have to stand at the back of the queue. You come here, I pray for you first. She says, that's the day her life changed. Priority. Children must know that they are prioritized. My son, he likes a bit of time at night, so I try and make for him a bit of time. What we also do is once in a while, then we'll go and have a milkshake. His favorite restaurant in the world is Big Dog Cafe, okay? Please note, it's the favorite restaurant in the world. Like, he's been to all the other restaurants in the world. But he's convinced that Big Dog is the best restaurant in the world. So they make great milkshakes there, and we from time to time going to have a milkshake. And then it's just me and him. And I'm just all ears. I'm just listening. Praat met my Buddha. Wat gaan aan in jou lewe? In the beginning, you know, it's a little bit awkward. But after a while, he starts sharing his heart with me. And the stuff starts coming out. I want to tell you, you have to be intentional about that as well. Because if you've got 3 kids, they're all vying for attention. They're all wanting attention. Papa, yes, donkey, and then they climb on me. And you know, it's chaos. But there's not that eyeball to eyeball. Wat gaan in jou hartjie aan? Ek weet jy's net 3 of 4 of 6 of 8 jaar oud. They've got stuff going on in there. They've also got questions. So I need to take out an hour of my day and say, you know what, that appointment is more important than all the other people that have also got issues in the church that I'm also seeing. I need to have an appointment with my children. So I started doing that. Started doing it with the middle one. The little one is still a bit small. She'll be like, "What's going on, your dad? This is just crazy." But I'm building those things in. Communicating priority. Family traditions, I'm nearly done. James Dobson says, if you want a healthy family, they've gone and literally done research. Not just amongst Christians, just across families. And nice big data pool, and they said, and they've interviewed people, and they've kind of looked at people that have generally become decent citizens and civilians and people in society, and they said, what are the factors that have contributed to you becoming a stable, emotionally healthy, contributing member to this community? And they look for common denominators across those things. What makes a socially functional person? We're not even talking about a Christian. We're just talking about a good community member. And the two things that came out, I've mentioned this before, was we ate dinner together as a family. And we went on holiday at least once a year as a family. What a surprise. What a surprise. Why would that be such important factors in raising the next generation? Because these days, it's like everybody's got a TV in their room and they're eating their meal while playing some TV game or whatever. Families don't eat together anymore. Where we sit around a table and we look at each other and each one gets a turn. Hoe was jou dag? Give me a highlight. Give me a low light. Wat was ie lekker nie? You'll be surprised by the things that comes out in the 2 or 3 minutes that they each have. And so the one thing we neglect as families is we don't eat together anymore. I want to tell you, make it a priority once a day. The family gets together before. And we're not watching some series or something that we all like. I'm talking about just us. Don't even put music on. Just us, our voices, our eyes locked on each other, talking, communicating. Family holidays are another opportunity. You come out of your environment as a family. It's important to go and visit Skoon Ma and Skoon Pa and Mom and Dad and do the family. I'm not saying don't do that. But a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, I said to Jolene, we're going to start doing our own family holiday. So we break up our holiday. A week we'll be with Skoon Pa and we'll be on the farm or we'll be with my parents. But there'll be a week where it's just us. I know it's a lot cheaper to go and live with Mom and Dad. But I want you to make that time just for us. When I'm done with this service, we're climbing in the car and we're going on holiday. We're going camping because it's what we can afford. It happens to be something I enjoy very much as well. But my wife, she's sacrificing because she'll rather go and stay in a hotel. But you know, right now, we can't afford to go and stay as a big family in some fancy hotel in the school holidays when the rates are really high. So she'll climb in a tent. And we'll do it. The point is, we're together. I can tell you, there's going to be a lot of laughter in the next week. A lot of joke. And I can't wait. I'm just going to pour myself into those children. Pour myself into my family. The rest of my life is so busy. I'm pouring myself into so many other people. This is their time. Make time for your families. You don't have to do expensive holidays. Just do it together. Amen? Last work. Teamwork. Last one. All this one is saying is that invite the Holy Spirit into your parenting. I can't tell you how many times I've heard testimonies where the Holy Spirit will just drop something into your heart. Something happened at school today. Ask her about it. If you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit's nudging, the Holy Spirit comes and partners and walks alongside us, and He helps us even in our raising of the next generation. You cannot raise children without the help of the Holy Spirit. It's you, your wife, and the Holy Spirit. You, the team, do it together. Amen. Let's stand together. So this morning has been very much about the next generation. It's about raising children in a godly manner. But I felt specifically, because it's also Father's Day, I'm just wanting to leave something with the dads here as well. You know, there's this saying that many of you would have heard. It takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise a child. And there's so much truth in that statement. And basically what the statement or that idiom is saying is that you can't raise a child alone. You as mom and dad. That's what makes this morning significant. I want to tell you, we were also part of what God did this morning in the lives of those four children. We were witnesses. In many ways, we also have a responsibility as children's volunteers in the kids' church to also build into those kids just like we build into the other kids. So yes, it does take the proverbial village to raise a child. But I want to tell you something else this morning. As parents standing here, at no stage can we abdicate our responsibilities to the village. When God entrusts and gives you a child, it is primarily your responsibility. And so isn't it sad that in many cases how the world works, the more money we get, the more we outsource that responsibility. I'm not saying by definition it's wrong to get those people involved in your children's life. I'm just saying that if you watch even the way Hollywood makes all these stories about the nanny and then dad is some high-flying executive that's always in some business meeting. Mommy's trying to keep up with the socialites and the next tea party and the next social function. And some nanny's stuck with the rich kid's children. And the story Hollywood is trying to teach us is that all the kid wants is his parents. I didn't think I'd talk about it, but it's so strange that Hollywood is trying to teach us this. We watched the movie the other night, I think it was called, it was the story about Winnie the Pooh, and about that author, I think it's A.A. Anderson or somebody, in the time of war in the UK, and it's the story of how this family moves out into the countryside and he starts writing these stories about Winnie the Pooh. And the little child becomes famous because he's the little Christopher Robin in the story. And it follows, the movie follows the story of this family. And eventually the boy realizes it's not really about him anymore. It's about the dad's sale of his books. And how the story goes is there's the scene where the boy rebels against his father and he goes off to war against his father's will. And there's the scene in this train station where they had this fight and this dad saying, "But I did everything for you. Look at everything I provided for you." And the boy just gets so frustrated and says, "I didn't want that." And the dad goes, "What did you want?" He said, "I wanted you. I just wanted you, Dad. Just wanted you. Not the fame, not the books, not the money, not the big house." Fathers, the biggest gift we can be and give to our children is ourselves. And when you do that, I believe you fulfill the will of God. So fathers, on Father's Day, let us make a commitment to give of ourselves. And I know you're doing your best. I know you're trying to hold everything together. I know the pressures you are under. But with the help of the Spirit, may we choose the right thing. May we choose to invest and give ourselves to our children. So I'm going to pray for the fathers. I just felt in intercession that there's some people here, including men, that did not have a father, that grew up without that figure, without that person in their life. And so let's just close our eyes. Father, we come before you this morning. We praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your immense love, the love of a father. God, and we realize, Lord, that this world is broken. We realize that before us and amongst us, Lord, are so many households represented with so many different situations. Somewhere there were ideal examples and really godly examples of fathers, and others where fathers were either just trying to make enough money to pay the bills and couldn't be there for the children, or even worse, God, where fathers were absent, and even worse, perhaps, where fathers were abusive. Father, we bring all these households represented here before you this morning. And I pray especially for the parents, but also specifically for the fathers this morning. I pray that by your Spirit, you would come reveal the Father's heart to us so that we can reveal that to our children, to the next generation. And God, we bring our brokenness, Lord, before you. We bring, in some cases, our failures before you. And God, we ask for help by your Spirit to be who you've called us as fathers. In Jesus' name, just while every eye is closed, I want to extend an invitation to anybody here this morning who's not made a commitment to Christ, who's not made Jesus Lord of their lives, and who cannot respond to a loving Father because you don't know that Father. You don't know this God who sent Jesus. You've heard a lot about Him, but you don't know Him. I believe there are a few people here this morning, you've had to carve your own way through this life. Everything that you have accomplished yourself. And I want to congratulate you for that this morning, but I want to say to you that there's something more. There's a place of surrender the Lord wants you to come to. So if that's you, I just want you to quietly just slip up your hand if you're saying that's me. I don't know the love of the Father, but I want to. Please pray for me this morning. Thank you for that, Anne. Is there anybody else? Thank you for that, Anne. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for their boldness, God. We pray that you'd meet them in a special way this morning, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'd like to pray with those two people when the service is done. If there's anybody else here that needs any prayer, especially in this area of fatherhood or parenting, love you to come to the front and we will pray with you. Otherwise, have a wonderful Sunday. Mothers and families, spoil those dads. It's their day. Show them lots of love and affection. And you have a wonderful Sunday. The Lord bless you.